We've come down to the Intervale outside of Burlington, Sarah, because there's a lot of big fields down here and there's a lot of flowers down here.
Sun is shining. There are fields everywhere filled with flowers.
And milkweed.
And milkweed and tons of Joe Pye weed and chicory and so, great things.
So this looks like a great place for our quarry, the beautiful monarch. The monarch is a big orange butterfly. It's one of the biggest orange butterflies we have, and a bold flyer. A monarch, we're talking about the size of, you know, almost the size of my hand.
Like a 4-inch wingspan.
Yeah.
We're really hoping to find one. Apparently, lately, they've been a little bit more difficult to find, but I think this looks like the perfect setting, yeah?
There's a beautiful patch of Joe Pye weed flowering right over there, and monarchs love to nectar on that. I say we go and hit that right now and see if we can find an adult monarch and catch it.
All right, let's go get them.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
Let's get them.
So far, I've seen a couple of cabbage whites. We've seen one black swallowtail, a couple of different species of skipper.
I mean, that's the great thing being out here, though. There's a lot of different butterflies. There's like 105 species of butterflies in Vermont. And we're after one of them.
Yeah, we're after one, and one that's kind of been declining recently as well. So, no, that's not it. Sorry. Oh,
dang it. You pulled the trigger on me.
Sorry, I know.
All right, I'm going
I'm
in.
Getting excited. All right, let's go. We're so going to get bitten. Oh!
This is as tall as you.
Yeah, it is. Oh, the thistle hurts.
There's a lot of milkweed in here, too, which is good. As a lot of people know, monarchs have one kind of plant that their caterpillars will feed on, and that's milkweed.
And that is part of what gives them their protection as adults, is that the caterpillars feed on this milkweed and they sequester some of the toxins, some of the cardiac glycosides that are in the plant.
Now that's in that the white stuff. If you've ever broken off milkweed, pulled it out of your garden,
yeah.
You know, look, I just broke this leaf off.
Yeah, don't chew on
that. And all this white milky stuff is coming out. And when the caterpillars eat this plant, the chemistry in that milk goes into their bodies. And when they're adults, the reason monarchs are orange is because?
It says, don't eat me.
Don't eat me.
They're, I don't taste
they
good.
They taste terrible.
That's why some birds eat monarch butterflies, but most don't, is because they're toxic to varying degrees.
Here in Vermont, kind of the golden rule is that when the Joe Pye weed starts blooming, the monarchs are probably migrating.
Right.
And this stuff just started blooming. It's a plant that likes wetter areas, open areas. It's a beautiful purple pink flower that butterflies, bees, pollinators love this because it's loaded with nectar and pollen. And that is really important for monarchs. Unlike birds, when monarchs migrate south, they actually have to eat the whole way down as they go south.
Right, they can't store up enough.
Birds eat a whole bunch, get fat, and then burn their fat as they migrate. Monarchs actually, the whole way south towards Mexico, are feeding every day, and they're getting fatter and fatter. When they get to Mexico, they weigh the most they've ever weighed.
Yeah.
And that's because they need that fat to make it through the winter while they sort of hang out in these trees.
Right, because where they are in Mexico, there isn't anything to feed on.
So nectaring along the way is super important for monarchs. So they have to have flowers the whole way south. They have to have way stations, stopover places.
So the take-home message is more flowers is good.
More flowers, more monarchs.
Yeah, well, so far no monarchs. Plenty of Joe Pye weed.
Next patch of Joe Pye weed coming up.
I know we're going to find it, right?
We're either going to find it or we're going to die of thirst trying. It's hot out here. Oh, look at that patch of Joe Pye weed up here.
Yeah, I don't know, Kent.
Come on.
I know. I don't see any monarchs, though.
If there are monarchs around here right now, stopping off and feeding, they're in this Joe Pye weed patch.
Kent, I am disappointed, I have to admit. I was looking forward to my first chance at tagging a monarch, but it looks like there aren't any out here.
He's giving it a valiant effort, but, you know, I got to say, I'm not surprised with a 90% decline over the last, you know, 25 years or so.
Yeah, but
there's just fewer monarchs to find.
Yeah, but what's causing the decline?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of things since they migrate so far, but there's three basic things. One, on the wintering grounds that we talked about in Mexico, there's been loss of the trees that they hang out in. There's been deforestation over the years.
So logging, right?
Logging, and they really need that forest to survive in. So you got the winter problem. And then when they take off to migrate and they get to Texas and that area, well, a few years ago, there was a mega drought down there. If they have drought conditions in the springtime, they can't reproduce once they get back to the Gulf Coast. So climate change and droughts and things like that, really bad for monarchs. Then, once they have to go further north, up into the Midwest, you know, that's all cornfields now. And it's special corn that is that doesn't have a lot of milkweed around it anymore because they use chemicals to get rid of the milkweed.
Well, and it's mega agriculture, so it's planted all the way out to the edges, and there aren't hedgerows.
Right. So they've lost a lot of summertime habitat where there's a lot of milkweed, and especially in the Midwest. And then finally, the last thing is that on fall migration, some research just found that fall migration is a real pinch point, too, because they need all those flowers on the way back down there to nectar on to get energy to keep migrating back to Mexico. And there's fewer flowers and there's more development, more ag lands without flowers.
Wow.
So you put all that together, and every season of their annual cycle has got a problem, and that's probably led to this massive decline.
So this is why over the past 10, even more years, we have seen a rather steady decline in monarch numbers.
Yeah. And now we're finding that we can't find monarchs here like today, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? I guess it is live to fight another day, butterfly boy.
Hey, you know, with a monarch a female can lay up to 200 eggs in a season. All we need is a couple good seasons and they could be back at it. So we just got to help get out there and protect them a little bit better.
There's still hope.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra. Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
I still have some hope. I mean, we've already seen probably a dozen species of butterflies out here. This is a really great field.
It's a wonderful hat.
There's an orange sulfur skipping across over there.
And they're big. They're really big. Oh, so if you see a monarch, you know it.
Oh, shoot.
Go get it. Oh, it's way out. Keep going. Just start running. It's way out. It's moving fast.
I'm not seeing it.
No, go to your left. This way.
Left?
Yeah, that's right. It goes towards the road.
Go, Zahendra, go.
I'm trying. It's moving too fast.
Oh, then sneak up.
No, it's still flying. I thought it landed over here.
Now that was a monarch. Did you see how fast that thing was flying?
How big it was?
Holy, I mean, and when you got close to it, it like put on afterburners, like the jets at the airport.
I thought I had it.
It duped you. It, like.
Oh, there it is.